Hello, my friends and fellow animal lovers. Welcome to the Story of My Pet podcast. I am Julie Marty Pearson, your host, proud fur mom, pet lover, and all-around animal advocate. I'm so happy to have you here to listen to the incredible pet stories that I have collected from around the world. I hope you enjoy this episode, and I can't wait to share this pet story with you. Hello, my friends and fellow animal lovers. I am happy to be here with a new episode and to introduce you all to my guest, Tenny Manassian. Tenny, thank you so much for being here.
Hey, Julie. Really glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Tenny and I connected because she wanted to share with me her new book called Lucy Goes to the Gentle Barn. So I have it and I love it. I was reading through it again last night and it's really a cute story and it's a great story for kids. And so before we get into that, Tenny, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Lucy, your dog. And you are a proud dog mom, I have to say.
Yes, very proud.
So how did the adoption of Lucy and you guys coming together, how did that come about?
Yeah, so Lucy is actually my first dog. So first and only dog so far. I adopted her in 2015. I had just come back to LA from the Bay Area. I was going to grad school up there. And I always wanted a dog and my family always said no. I told them before I moved back that I for sure was getting a dog. And so I think they felt bad for me at this point going through my whole life without a dog. So they reluctantly agreed. I was already trying to search for dogs. And I knew I wanted to ideally get a puppy or just a younger dog so that we can just have that experience that we've never had. And I found through a rescue, I found they had some puppies. And so I took my parents and we went and we visited the puppies. And my mom actually ended up picking Lucy out of all of them, which is ironic because she was so scared of dogs. So for her, this was like her first experience with a dog. So it was really interesting. But
that's great because yeah. For people that don't have animals growing up, that first one can be really scary. So I think that's a great thing that your parents were able to go on this journey with you.
Yeah, no, it's been really wonderful for my whole family. So my family's Armenian, but we're from Iran. And so in Iran growing up, like my parents didn't really have pets. Like it wasn't normalized there. It's a bit of a different culture than what we have here in the Western culture. So for them, it's been a complete night and day like change. Now, like Lucy's their grandchild, like their granddaughter, they're obsessed with her. But yeah, it's been really amazing.
That's so great. I love hearing that. So many of my guests are like animal lovers from the time they're born and all of that. But it's great when we hear stories of people who haven't and have ventured into rescue and adoption. And then you find that dog that you're meant to have, which I think is what happened with you and Lucy.
That's exactly what happened. I actually wanted a male dog and I was going to name him Milo. And I had this whole plan. And so when I saw the four puppies, I wanted the little runt of the litter. He was like this little black, like poodle mix boy. And I was like, I want this one. And my mom said, no, I want this one. And she pointed to Lucy and I was like, all right, well, since they're compromising, they're getting the dog. So I went with what my mom wanted and it was exactly what I needed.
That's so funny. When I was little and I got to get a puppy, it was a litter and I picked out mine, Champ, which was a boy. My mom was like, no, we've only ever had girl dogs. I'm like, no, this is the one. And it was the one.
Yeah.
I always say our pets find us the way they're supposed to.
That's absolutely what happened. Yeah, it was just so cute. And as soon as she came to our house, like we just all fell in love with her and it's been a very nice journey. So she's 8 years old now. Every time we meet people, they'll ask me how old she is. I say eight and they're like 8 months. And I'm like, no, she's 8 years old. Like she looks like a puppy. So she just has so much energy and she just is very friendly. So we go on all these adventures together. I have her Instagram page where we post about that. And that's what led me to wanting to share our story of going to the Gentle Barn. I think a lot of kids can relate to some of these same lessons that we're learning, just even with dogs. So for example, even when like I take Lucy to the vet and she's scared, I just think about kids going to a doctor and being scared.
Right.
So I just have so many different ideas of books that I want to share through Lucy's perspective and through her voice and her experience. But yeah, The Gentle Barn was the first one.
I was going to say that's such an important parallel to make because obviously kids and pets are different, but young dogs or even dogs you adopt that aren't puppies and they could be a few years old or older, you don't know what their experiences have been. So their experiences with you are brand new, just like with kids going, like you said, to the doctor. And it's the same thing in a way, because when young kids, you can't, you know, explain the way that maybe when they're older, same thing with pets, you don't know how much they're understanding. And it definitely, as I was going through the book, I could see how you were helping Lucy to understand the different animals she was meeting, just like for a child meeting a cow for the first time or something, like, what is this? Why is it so big? Is it going to be nice to me? So I love that idea that you're using the lessons you've learned with Lucy to make a parallel into the stories you're telling.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And when we took Lucy to the Gentle Barn, it was 2017. So she was still pretty young. And we just had such a wonderful time. We met basically all the animals that I named in the book. So Lucy the cow, they have the same name, which was cute. And Hiroka, but we call her Hiro the horse. And they had the really cute moment where they like almost kiss. And I have the photo. Yeah, it's very cute. And then so the way she illustrated in the book was perfect.
Obviously, before the book came to existence, you actually went to the Gentle Barn. How did you learn about them and what they do?
Yeah, well, I've been on my vegan journey. It's been almost 7 years. Yeah, so I actually started the journey because I adopted Lucy. And then after about a year, I went vegetarian. I started really questioning like why I was eating some animals and then having her in my home, like opening my home up to other animals. So it just didn't make sense to me. So I went vegetarian. About almost a year later is when I went vegan and I learned about the dairy industry, the egg industry, just horrible things happening to animals. So at some point during this journey, I was following the Gentle Barn on social media. And they're just a wonderful organization, very close by to me, about half an hour away. So we went to visit and I got my first cow hug and it was so healing. Like I can't even put into words like how amazing a cow hug is. So if you haven't experienced it and you have the chance to go to a sanctuary, it's the best thing.
It's funny because when I met you virtually and learned about your book, I'm like, I know the Gentle Barn. I follow them too. And they're about, I think about an hour and a half from where I live in Bakersfield. So I've heard of them. I was like, God, that would be so great to go there, because a lot of sanctuaries like Gentle Barn do have days where people can come and meet the animals. And I've heard it's such a great experience. So it sounds like that was really transformative for you.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people have a similar experience going there, which is why they're just so popular and so well known. Yeah, just a really friendly place to go, good for kids and families. Yeah. So when I took Lucy, I went with her and my dad. And so we were just holding her around and like showing her the animals. And yeah, she had just a wonderful time. She just loves going out and meeting people and other animals.
It sounds like she's very social.
Yes. I joke that she's the extrovert to my introvert, because I love to be home and reading books. She's, let's go out.
Let's go, Mom. We're not sitting here all day.
Yeah, exactly.
Our pets are often the thing that we need in so many different ways. And it sounds like she's taking you along on her adventures.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, she gets me out of the house for sure. She's also my emotional support animal. So I went through a lot of depression, anxiety, was in a really bad, like emotionally abusive relationship for a long time. So she actually got me through a lot and she literally saved my life. I had like suicidal ideation for a period of time. So when I tell people like she saved my life, like she literally saved my life. And still like to this day, like every day, it's like I get up and I'm just like so happy that I can just be her mom. So
that's so great. We always talk about who rescued who. You and your family did adopt her and rescue her, but it was meant to be for you. It was that support you needed. And sometimes we don't even realize it, and it could be years later that they're the support we needed and we would have had no idea, but they're the reason we get up and go through our day for them. And yeah, so it's just really special that you guys have that bond.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been wonderful. Yeah. And we actually took her to Armenia in 2019.
Oh, wow. That's a big adventure.
Very big adventure. I have a few books in mind for that. So hopefully we get to do those. But yeah, she's just always with me.
No, that's a great book too, to teach kids about Armenia through the eyes of a dog.
Yeah, exactly.
So you have all these great stories and adventures. How did you actually decide what the first book would be and what was that process for you?
It was, I think last year I had gone to the Gentle Barn and I took a former coworker. She was going for the first time. And I love taking people for the first time. It's so much fun. And so we went and I actually we were in the cow area. We're like hugging the cows and hanging out there. And I met Jay, Ellie's husband. So they started a gentle barn. And so I just met him like during that time. And I think it was a kind of one of those like fate moments. And so I said, oh, I've been thinking about this children's book idea. I would love to talk to you guys about it. And he gave me his card and said, yeah, just reach out to us. And so I did. In the new year, I reached out to them. And by the time we set up a meeting, had to get a chance to talk, it was April of this year. And so I spoke to Ellie and she was really excited about it. And she loved that it was a book about my dog and her perspective and her adventure. So they were really excited for me. And after I got their approval, I just wanted to make sure they were okay with me writing the book. I went ahead and did my final draft and the process started for me to try to find an illustrator. And so I found Aghavni. Aghavni is a young Armenian woman here, also in the Los Angeles area. And I really wanted to hire specifically an Armenian woman because I wanted to support them, especially now with the rise of AI and all of these things, like artists are not really being supported as much. And so I really wanted to make sure that I was doing that. And so I was really lucky with Aghavni. She's amazing. She's done other children's books and I just love her art style. We went back and forth about just trying to get Lucy's character right, making sure she looked the way that I wanted. And so once we crafted that and got that perfect, then we went through the whole book and just page by page, we're collaborating on it.
Yeah, I'm just looking through the book as you're talking about it. And her illustrations are just, there's like a softness to it.
Yeah.
And playfulness, but all of the animals just look so happy. They all look like they're smiling. And I just love that. It's just like a very happy book to look through. And Lucy just looks so happy throughout the whole thing. I love that.
Yeah, which is true. It's based on true story, obviously. But yeah, the animals are so happy there. Like every time I go, I'm just like, just hearing like how they care for them and everything that they do is just so amazing. And also the gentle barn is a great place for people to visit. And it provides healing for humans too. So it's like they heal the animals.
Right.
And in turn, there's healing for people, which I feel like is similar to Lucy and I's story. It's like I rescued her, but she also rescued me.
Right. That's great. So did she actually meet Lucy or visit the gentle barn, or did she just go off of photos?
No, I just gave her some photos. She hasn't met Lucy yet, but I do need to give her a copy of the book. So hopefully when we do that, when we drop it off, we can have her meet Lucy. But she did a great job just like capturing Lucy's essence, I think. I think that can be hard to do. Like you said, like she hasn't met her, but just going off of photos. And I sent her a lot of photos from the gentle barn, from our visits, from the website, just to make sure the characters look exactly like what you do. Right. And she did a great job. So
I love that you were purposeful about wanting to support female artists and Armenian artists. I think that's so important for all of us that are in whatever type of creative world it may be, writing, podcasting, things like that, because there are so many. And like you said, AI is taking over. Mm-hmm. And we want the true humans to be the ones creating these things. So I think that just adds such another great layer to how great your book is. I really love that.
Thank you so much. Yeah. And I also want to mention, we are donating a part of the proceeds of the book to the Gentle Barn, which I think is also important for me to support them. Because they've been so influential, not just in my life, but I think in so many people's lives. Every time I mention the book, people are like, yeah, I follow them on social media. I'm like, oh, this is amazing. You already know about the Gentle Barn. So it's great.
Yeah. And that's one of the ways I try to do it with the podcast, to get more people to know about different rescues and organizations. But thank God for social media that we can all follow these amazing things. But it's even better when we can get a real story behind it and the impact that they're actually making with their animals and with people.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so everyone listening, there'll be a link in the show notes. And I'm also going to post on social media where you can purchase the book. It's a great gift. I would say it's a great gift for kids, but anybody's going to enjoy reading through it. I did myself. So in terms of the book, and you have all these other ideas, what's the one thing that your experience with Lucy is your motivating factor to share her story?
I think really she just taught me to enjoy life. She just enjoys everything. Every time we go on a walk, every time we tell her we're leaving the house and we're going out, she's so excited and she's just so enthusiastic. And And she's also so friendly to everybody. Like, she says hi to everyone. She wants to say hi to all the dogs. Sometimes they don't want to say hi to her, but it's okay. So I think just her, like, zest for life in a way. And just getting me, again, through those dark days, just having her and, like, the responsibility of being her mom and taking care of her was really important for me to get me through those days.
That's great. Yeah, I think that is so true about animals. Even when we have animals that have been through hard things or they've been in shelters or whatever they've gone through, they just leave it behind them and they move forward and they're so happy. And when animals are so friendly, it's like they have no preconceived notions about who people are, by how they look. They just want attention from anyone that they meet. Animals can teach us a lot. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So you mentioned that after adopting Lucy, you started this journey yourself of vegetarian to vegan, and now you're actually a vegan coach. So can you talk a little bit about that journey and how that happened for you?
Yeah, so obviously she had a big impact on my life in that way too. And so I've been vegan for about 7 years, I think, 6 or 7 years. And yeah, I just, a year and a half ago, I quit my job and I said, I'm going to be a vegan lifestyle coach.
Wow.
So, I know. And obviously, I'm also writing, and so I'm doing things like that. But I just wasn't feeling like I was living my life's purpose. And I think during the pandemic, a lot of people had those questions of reevaluating their life. What am I doing? How am I spending my time, basically?
Right.
And so I did get to a point, even though I enjoyed my job, I loved the people that I met, I just felt it was time to take a leap. And helping other people make this change is, like, really fulfilling for me. And also I help businesses too. So I do consulting. So if you have a business, you want to add some options and you're not sure where to start, I can help you with that too.
That's great. I was born and raised in California. So we've always had all those options. It's more normal here, I guess you could say, than even other parts of the country, let alone the world. But it's so true. I've worked at different organizations. I worked at a Jewish university and they had a kosher kitchen and I'd never had an experience with that. So I can imagine there's companies that don't even know what they should do to have vegetarian and vegan options for their employees.
Yeah, absolutely. And even, for example, a restaurant or cafe or really any business, because veganism, it's about what you're consuming, right? Head to toe, not just what we're eating. So I think about, people are really into cruelty-free cosmetics now. That's becoming a thing, which I'm really happy about because animal testing is horrific. And so just thinking about everything that you're purchasing, everything that you're contributing to, and just really doing your best, I think that's really important to keep in mind.
Yeah, I know myself, I've from health issues, and I've never really been a big meat eater. I've just, once I was a kid and realized where that came from, I had a hard time eating it. And I have health issues that my body doesn't really process meat. So I've never been big on it. But when I've thought about, like, true vegetarianism or veganism, it can be overwhelming. So that's a really important service you're providing, because someone could say you want that, but then the whole world is, okay, well, where do I start?
Yeah.
If someone's listening and they're like, okay, this is the time I'm going to do it, I'm going to try to be vegan or vegetarian, what are some of the first steps you would give them as good ways to start?
I also have a vegan 101 course that I sell, and it basically gives you a breakdown of, I call it a 5-week kickstart, but you have the course for life so you can take your time with it. And I think that's important, because my number one tip is really just to take your time and slowly make those changes, because you want it to be a sustainable lifestyle change. And that can take a while. You look in your cabinet right now, you might already have a bunch of vegan things that you didn't even realize that were vegan. You're already eating them. You don't have to just swap everything out, right? But you do have to take those recipes that you're familiar with, make a few changes, get comfortable with it. And also your body needs to process. Like, if you're eating a lot more lentils and beans and things like that, your body needs to take some time to process and get used to that. So I just recommend doing things a little bit slower.
That's such a good point. I never even thought about that. When you've been eating a certain way for a long time and you're like, oh, I'm going to change. If you go drastic and completely change, that's a big shift for your body and your internal systems.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, like, for most people, it's a very positive shift. You will feel good. But again, if you're not really sure about how to prepare meals or, like, how do you even read labels, things like that, it might take a while for you to get used to. So That's the whole point of the course and the coaching, to help people.
No, that's important. I've noticed more things now say vegan or cruelty-free, things like that. But you also have to know what those mean, because something could say dairy-free or whatever, but I'm sure there's levels of all of it and what it really means in terms of the actual ingredients.
Absolutely, yeah. So I go over definitions first thing in the course, because that's very important. You might go see something in the grocery store, it says plant protein or something, and then you see, oh, it has some eggs in there, or it has like dairy cheese or something. And so a lot of companies, I think they want to, obviously they want to make money. So it's, if something is popular, they're going to get on the bandwagon. But just because it says something like plant protein doesn't mean it's all vegan. So you have to like really be careful with those things.
That's so true. I'm going through my head, even for me, like I haven't ever drank milk. I've never liked it and it doesn't agree with me. But even like creamer, there's so many different kinds. And now you can get, there's all these kinds that say they're gluten-free, but now you can get plant-based and all of that. So I'm sure there are just so many. So it sounds like your courses would be a really great starting point for a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great starting point. Or if you've tried this and it hasn't worked out for you, I think it could be a good resource and tool. And yeah, I think just have fun with it too, because there's so many options now and just so many resources to help you. I don't want people to think like, oh, I'm taking things away from my life and my diet and things like that. So really, you're just adding better things for your health. Obviously, great for the environment, for the animals as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. And one of the things you mentioned earlier in your journey with it was learning more about the dairy industry. That's something I've learned more about over the years, but even since doing the podcast, I think people just have no idea what the animals go through in that industry.
Yeah.
And so that's a big thing for me to want to try to get the dairy more out, because I love cheese, unfortunately. But so that's a hard one for people, I think. That's probably a big obstacle for a lot of people.
Yeah, I think for most people that I hear from, it's really cheese. And the reason is it's actually addictive. It's like as addictive as heroin. Like what's happening in your brain, it's the same process.
So it's okay. We don't have to feel bad.
Don't feel bad. I think most people are just, they have that addiction. They don't even realize. But when I talk to them about, well, what are you hesitant about? What's your hesitancy about going vegan? It's usually the cheese. And so when you do also like slowly replace things, it helps. For some people, it helps if you do like just cut it out for 3 to 4 weeks. Some people say it takes 21 days to make a change, right? So if you cut it out for 3 to 4 weeks, what happens is your taste buds are going to change as well. So once you start, let's say you like accidentally had something or you want to taste it just to see, you're going to have a different reaction. So it's really different for everyone too. And so that's why I say just go at your own pace, figure out what you need to do. And if you can do everything but that, start there.
Right.
And then you can go on and try to chip away at the cheese problem.
The cheese problem.
The cheese problem.
It's like, it's the same thing when I've tried to go off soda or caffeine. Sure. We don't realize, sometimes we blame ourselves, but it's all the chemicals in our body and the way our brain is wired, and we can't get mad at ourselves. And weight issues are on top of that. A lot of us are predisposed to certain things that are genetically what we're born with. We can only do so much, but it sounds like your model is really slow and steady. Try it a little at a time and don't overwhelm yourself.
Yeah, especially because it can be overwhelming, like you said, like with all the options, and you don't really know what to do, what's vegan, what's not vegan. So just like on your body, but also like mentally, like you want to make sure you take it slow. And yeah, now thankfully there's actually a lot of good vegan cheeses that are coming up on the market. So that's good.
That helps. And then, so we talked a lot about the food part of it, but like you said, in terms of being a vegan, there's a lot of layers. And one of that is all of the, especially for us women, all of our cosmetics and skincare and all of that, that can be another overwhelming thing. So is there maybe some brands you suggest for people or certain items that you say try to change this first?
Yeah, I think, again, like a lot of the beauty brands are going in that direction, which is good. So I would say start with looking at what you're already comfortable using. Make sure, just double check, is it vegan? Is it cruelty free? If it's not, you put that to the side and then you'll start slowly shifting things out, right? You got your mascara, let's say, use that up until you can, until it's done, and then start researching slowly what's a better mascara for me to use. Because again, people can be really particular with things, especially with like hair too. People have different types of hair. You want mm-hmm. a good product for your hair. So in terms of like brands, I think it's going to be very personal. So I would say just one by one, just go through. Again, it's going to be slow and steady, but you might find that a lot of the things you're using are already vegan and cruelty-free. So that would be great.
Yeah, I think there is more than not, but there's also some big brands that aren't, that people don't realize, or they may say they're free of something, but that doesn't mean they are vegan, and or it doesn't mean they don't test on animals. And that's something that's really important to me. I follow several organizations like Beagle Freedom Project who are saving the animals from the labs. And I think people just don't think that happens anymore. We're so progressive in some ways, they think, oh, that doesn't happen. Actually, it does. All over.
Oh, yeah. It does happen. There's a lot of documentaries on that, too. There was one, I think, it features the Beagle Free Project. But yeah, that's, it's just brutal to see the animal testing videos. It's just, yeah. Every time I buy something, it has to be cruelty-free. And I think, again, like you said, most people don't realize. So it's that education part, because once you do see what's happening and then you realize, oh, okay, so now I understand that avoiding these products and supporting these products is actually going to help and make a difference. So.
Right. No, I think that is education is a big piece. I think for one, people think that doesn't happen in the U.S. and it does. Animals are set free from U.S. labs all the time, but also a lot of times companies are importing mm-hmm. and the other countries where the products being made don't have a lot of the laws we have. So it's even worse. So,
yeah,
it's a lot of education. I think you're a good resource for people. They want to try to start down this journey. But I also think the message you're saying is don't overwhelm yourself. You don't have to go completely 1000% the first day. It's a process. And we also don't want to waste, like you said, we don't want to waste the food or the things, because that's also a part of the environment. We don't want to throw a bunch of stuff away then and not use it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And there are options for that. I've seen people like either if it's new and obviously sealed, you can donate it to a food bank or someone who's in need. You can give it to family and friends, or you can use it up and then slowly make your change. So whatever works for you.
So for your journey, since it's something you've been going through in the last 7 years, what have you seen yourself personally, physically or mentally have been the biggest gains? So if someone's thinking about it, is this really going to make a difference?
Yeah, no, you just feel better. It's hard to describe that because it's like, for me, fortunately, my health was okay. I didn't have like major health issues, but depending on how I'm eating too, I can see like in my lab results every year, I can see my cholesterol go down. I can see things like that. My back has not been hurting. I used to have like really bad back pain. I think it was also like mental health related. For me, when my mental health is really bad, it manifests physically. I think just like taking all that out, really not having the inflammatory things in your body, like meat and dairy, specifically cheese, those things, that's really helpful because now the inflammatory stuff is out and you're getting more anti-inflammatory things like fruits and veggies and good stuff. And so it just helps you feel good overall. And I think for me, because I'm doing it for the animals, is my heart feels good. That just helps you overall as well.
Right. It's so true. And the inflammatory, I don't think people realize how much of what we eat causes that. And I know I have autoimmune issues, so I already have the inflammation problem. And then I'm just eating stuff that's making it worse.
Right.
That's a huge, I know it's a huge piece of it. But like you said, sometimes when we're struggling with our mental health, food is our crutch.
Yep.
And we either don't eat as much as we should or we eat too much. And so that's like another layer to it. So that sounds like for you, it's been a good process overall, physically and mentally. And I'm sure it could help a lot of people.
Yeah, I was definitely emotionally eating for many years without really realizing. You don't really realize what you're doing. It's so interesting how that works. I was just going through my life and people around me were commenting things, which is not very nice, but what happens? And you just don't realize. And then one day I woke up and I realized, wow, okay, I couldn't breathe well when I was walking. And mind you, I had already switched to being vegan. So it wasn't about that. It was for me, unfortunately, like it was just that excess weight for me. And I felt like I had to lose some weight. So I ended up losing 40 pounds. And of course, again, I was already vegan. So it's not because of veganism, but It's just that coming to that relationship with your body and your health and just like getting more in tune with what I'm consuming, I think that process has been helpful for me. Because again, you could go eat Oreos. Those are vegan, right?
Right.
It's about like really thinking about your health. If you're doing this for your health, it's going to look very different from people who are just like, no, I just want to do this for the animals and I'm not thinking about my health maybe as much.
Right.
So for me, I got to a point where it was like full circle. Like I needed to get to a place where I felt good. And so that's what happened for me. And so I definitely feel a lot better. Again, it's not the answer for everyone.
Right. No, I think I've heard it my whole life. And it's always more irritating when it's a man. Oh, you need to lose some weight.
That's right.
Oh, really? Oh my gosh, you're the first person to ever, you know, it's.
Yeah.
The healthcare system is what it is. And no matter what, how healthy or not we are, we all know what our normal body weight is. And if we feel like we need, and for us females over 40, for me, after a hysterectomy, things change that I didn't know were going to change. And it's much harder to lose weight. And I know I do feel better when I have less weight on. That's just, that's how I've always been. But like you said, veganism isn't necessarily the thing that's going to do that for you. Obviously, it's going to help. It is going to make your body healthier. But there's still lifestyle aspects of it in terms of how active you are and how much you're eating and when you're eating and all of that that play into it, too. You can never tell someone else to do it. They have to find that for themselves.
Absolutely. Yeah. Same with like making any change in your life. And that's why when I talk to people about vegan lifestyle change or plant-based diet or whatever it is that they want, it has to come from them. And so all I can do is provide some information, some stats, some anecdotes, things like that, and kind of plant seeds in people's minds. But I'm not out here like specifically just trying to change someone like that.
Right.
They have to be ready. They have to be in the right mindset and at the point in their life to make a change. And especially for people who have families, like I know it's okay, well, I want to go vegan, but what about my husband or what about my kids? There's just all these other people to think about. It starts slow in those situations.
Yeah. Give yourself a break. It doesn't have to all happen at once.
Yeah, exactly. I just have to show this to you. So it's called Therapets. So it's like different pets every day, like different animals. And so today's was, sometimes it feels like the horrible feeling will never end. It's important to hold on and wait it out because it never lasts, which is like great card for me. But
yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
And one other way you can change your life is by adopting a pet.
Yes. Oh my God. I talk about that all the time with people because I see so many people still continuing to buy from breeders or to like really just not understand rescue animals and how amazing they are. And so that upsets me. So I just want to promote that. We promote that a lot on Lucy's Instagram too. So adopt. Right.
Well, and I think some people don't realize the domino effect of purchasing a pet. And well, they're not a bad breeder. It doesn't matter. But it's the effect of you're supporting the breeders and the breeders are going to keep breeding because they know they can keep making money. And then when they get, I see it all the time at the shelters I've volunteered in and stuff. If they get a litter of animals that have health issues, they just dump them. And people don't realize how much that plays into the overcrowded shelter system we have right now.
That's true. Yeah, it's a systemic issue, like most things are. And I think for me, too, just the perspective I have on animals has changed so much, obviously, since adopting Lucy, but also just by going vegan, too. Like, I don't view them as something that you own or purchase. I don't view them as property, even though in the eyes of the law, they're viewing them as property. So I think that's also a big shift that has to happen in people's minds.
Yeah, I think that's definitely something. And also, I think it's the same thing when people have a pet and they think of it as like an object they own. Mm-hmm. And that's the time when things get hard or, oh, I'm moving, I can't take it with me. And that's when they get put in the shelter. It's a part of that thinking, too. No, my pets are my family.
Yeah.
They come before I'm worrying about other things. So there's a lot of education and also just the way people view animals. And so it sounds like Lucy has been definitely a huge impact for you in all of those areas.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, I always loved animals and dogs and everything. But I didn't have that experience. So I was never around them. And so it was always just in my mind, like this fantasy of, oh, it'd be great to have a dog. But once you actually adopt a dog and have them in your life and in your heart, like you just can't describe how amazing that is.
That connection. There's,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, Lucy sounds like an amazing little dog. She has really inspired a lot of things in your life. And hopefully she'll inspire more for other people with everyone reading her book. So everyone listening, make sure to go look at Lucy Goes to the Gentle Barn. You can learn about Lucy and you can learn about the Gentle Barn and all the amazing animals they have. And it's great because in the back of the book, you hear a little more about Tenny and her story and getting Lucy. So I think it's a great educational piece, but it's also fun for people just to read and see all the adorable animals.
Yeah, thank you so much. We're really excited about the book. With the book, I just want to teach kids that even if you're different or if you're in a new environment, you're nervous, scared, you can still make friends. And that's the whole point of the book, is that she's a little different from the other animals, but she ends up making friends with them.
Yeah, it's really sweet. And it's also, I think, great because then you also show how you support her. They're good. I'm here for you. And there's a lot of layers to it, I think, that kids will respond to, but adults too. And so I really appreciate you, Tenny, being here and sharing your story, sharing Lucy with us. And I look forward to seeing more books from you in the future. And I hope everyone follows you on Instagram. I'll put all of your links in the show notes and checks out your book to learn more about Lucy and the Gentle Barn.
Thank you so much, Julie. It's been so great talking with you today.
You too. Thank you. Thank you, my friend, for being here and listening to this episode of the Story of My Pet podcast. I hope you were inspired and touched by this amazing pet story, and I hope you come back to listen to more episodes soon. Make sure you don't miss any new episodes by clicking subscribe wherever you are listening to this podcast right now. Want to help the podcast grow? Then hit rating and review wherever you are listening to this podcast. Every review helps get the podcast in front of more people and heard by more listeners so that the podcast can inspire more people to rescue, foster, and adopt animals in need today. Thank you so much for being here, and much love to you and your pets.